Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Maybe you have a nativity set up at your house, either inside or outside or both. I recommend it. It's better than any of the secular Christmas decorations combined. It's that familiar scene of Joseph and Mary kneeling in front of Jesus lying in the manger. There are usually some animals present, maybe some angels, a star, maybe even the wise men are there on that nativity scene. When you think of that scene, that picture, think of how unexpected that scene was to everyone involved as it unfolded before their eyes. Oh, those who had been paying attention to God's revelation in Holy Scripture knew that a special child was going to be born sometime. Adam and Eve knew it. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob knew it. Moses knew it and wrote it down so that all Israel could know it, and even some outside of Israel knew it, such as the wise men themselves. King David knew it. Isaiah, the prophet, knew it and wrote about it in the first lesson you heard today. To us a child is born, to us a son is given. It was even Isaiah who foretold that this child would be born of a virgin. So all the faithful in Israel were certainly expecting the coming of the Messiah, expecting his birth. A few were given a few more details. Mary and Joseph and Gabriel, the angel, knew how he was conceived. They expected with greater precision when he would be born, some 9 months after Gabriel announced his birth to Mary in the first place. But no one, and I mean no one, was expecting him to come as he did. Caesar Augustus, did you know when you issued that decree that you would be God's instrument in getting Mary and Joseph from Nazareth down to Bethlehem where they needed to be so that the Christ could be born there in fulfillment of Micah's prophecy? Joseph, did you know that your wife would deliver her baby before you got back home to Nazareth? Mary, did you know that you would be giving birth in a stable and laying your son in a manger for a bed? Travelers to Bethlehem, an innkeeper, did you know that by filling up the inn in Bethlehem, you would be setting the stage for the most memorable birth in history? Farmer, did you know that your hay would provide the Lord's first bedding? Builder of mangers, did you know that your craftsmanship would serve your Creator? Shepherds, did you know that you would be visited by angels and become the first visitors to welcome your God to earth? The answer is no, not at all. Did the angels know ahead of time what exactly their role would be on that first Christmas night? Almost certainly not. But God knew what he was doing and how all these creatures, men and angels, would fit into his nativity at just the right time, in just the right place, and in just the right way. Yes, even the angels were likely wonderfully surprised by how God brought his son into the world, like their very own Christmas present to unwrap, getting to watch it all unfold and learning that they too would get to be a part of the story, part of the Lord's unexpected nativity scene that is recreated year after year in Christian homes ever since. And what great gifts those angels were given. Unexpected gifts. The holy angels got to be part of God's grand nativity, and their role has been commemorated ever since. One of them was given this gift, to be privileged to proclaim to the shepherds one of the clearest, sweetest, most profound messages in the whole Bible. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. No celebration of Christmas is worth anything at all if it doesn't recognize and center around the child who lay in the manger. His identity is not insignificant. It's everything. A Savior, the angel said, because mankind had been enslaved in the dark dungeon of sin and condemned by God's righteous judgment to spend eternity dying in the devil's kingdom. Only a special substitute could save us, a human being like us who could take our place under God's holy law and fulfill it and pay for our pardon with his own precious life. That's the kind of Savior we needed, and it's exactly what the angel meant when he called that child a Savior. He also called him Christ, the very first messenger to apply that title to Jesus, long before Andrew or Peter or anyone else confessed it. The long-expected anointed one had been born, the one who would teach and preach, make atonement for sin, die and rise again, who would reign over the world and build his church and finally bring judgment and justice to the world. And the angel also called him Lord. And that's maybe the most profound, because the word he used for Lord is the special Old Testament name Yahweh or Jehovah. In other words, the angel made it plain to the shepherds, this isn't just a human Savior who has been born to you. God has now joined himself to your race. Jehovah has been born among you as one of you. Yahweh has been born to you, for you, because he loves you and wants to save you from your sins. What a gift the angel was given to be able to proclaim that truth. What a gift you have been given to hear it proclaimed to you in the words of that angel all these years later. That same angel was given yet another gift, to be the very first messenger to point sinners to their newly arrived Savior and tell them how to find him. Then it was in a manger, wrapped in swaddling cloths. Now it's in the preaching of his word, in the waters of holy baptism, and in that most intimate way of all, in the bread and wine of the Christ Mass. Finally, a whole multitude of the heavenly host, possibly all the created angels together, were given a most wondrous gift. When the firstborn came into the world, then the word from the Old Testament was fulfilled, let all God's angels worship him. And they did worship him, and they sang and praised God, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. They praised the God in heaven, and they praised the same God whose Son was now on earth as he lay in the manger. And they proclaimed the peace God had come to earth to bring and the goodwill of God that his birth displayed. Yes, you're sinners, his birth declared, but God doesn't hate you. He gives his own Son to you as the most unexpected gift of all, persuading you to repent and to trust in him for the forgiveness of sins. How unexpected that God would include you and me in his Christmas revelation and in his plan of salvation. There's so much we don't know about our part in this plan and the specific roles we're all going to play before it's all said and done. But no one really knew what to expect before Christ's nativity either. And yet God put everything and everyone in place. He'll do the same for you and me and for his whole church before Christ's expected second coming, not in a humble manger, but in glory and power. He'll come in an unexpected way, at an unexpected time, and with unexpected gifts for those who worship him now and who are eager to worship him then when he comes. Gifts beyond our wildest imagination that God himself will be eager to watch us unwrap. Christmas, more than any other time of year, should teach us the biblical truth that St. Paul wrote, "No eye has seen, no ear has heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for those who love him." Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.